You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, Colt Molesky here with the Locked On Wolves podcast. And yesterday we were talking about which team the Timberwolves could beat in a playoff series of the teams in the Western Conference right now. Today I wanted to talk about more as we transition out of next year of this last year and go into the draft here. Not quite ready for draft stuff yet, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about highlights from the season. And the way I wanted to separate with this out was I wanted to talk highlights today, and then the next episode maybe talk some lowlights. I don't know, try and see the comedy in some of these. Now, almost like a blooper reel is what we'll do. Almost like a blooper reel. And so try and, if you can't laugh at some of the sucky parts of stuff, you're going to cry, right? And so trying to see some of the comedy in this season. And so we're going to start, we're going to sandwich this out here because I don't want to give Timberwolves faithful more than they can bear. So we're going to go highlights, a little bit of a blooper reel. And then we're going to, I figure we're going to section out the highlights a little bit into two pieces. It's going to be team highlights and it's going to be Towns highlights. Because I was looking through the season, kind of going back over games and stuff, and it's a bunch of crazy Towns things, and then there's like five or six things that the Timberwolves individually did. And I think that we should go through them a little bit separately. And I know that being a Timberwolves fan and covering the Timberwolves has basically been singing the praises of Towns over the course of the season. And so maybe some of you guys don't want to hear more about Towns and what he did and you're over it. But for those people, I would say you can go take a hike. So I don't want to hear about it. That's what we're doing. So without further ado, let's look at some of these highlights and look at some of the best parts of what the Timberwolves did this year. So the first one that came to mind off the bat, I'm just going to jump to it right away because I know there are times when I can go on about Derrick Rose. I've really loved Derrick Rose this season. I'm not going to lie about it or hide it. I really have. And so I know that could maybe wear on some people, so I want to get this out of the way right away. The Timberwolves game when he drops 50, a career best 50, mind you, on the Utah Jazz, that was a really cool moment. And if you didn't watch it, I would encourage you to go back, watch the highlights, especially post-game stuff when he's almost in tears about kind of, this is his first real huge success since he really came back. I don't know. I feel like you count the games or the years beforehand as almost a hiatus. In fact, he did take some hiatuses with those teams when he was on them. But it almost felt like this was the first time he was really all the way back, was with the Timberwolves, and particularly this game. Was really all the way back. I guess you could count kind of he was starting to come out a little bit in that Houston series that the Timberwolves had last year in the postseason. But it felt like this was when he was really starting to reach what his peak powers are right now. And I know that's not going to be the same as 2011, but it still felt like he was getting to where his peak is now and getting back to some of his peak powers. And that was a really cool moment, and a really cool moment to, it felt like he was really embracing, he was really embracing this team, and he was really embracing this new time of his career, as opposed to where on the last couple of teams he was on, he was kind of feeling like he was fighting where he was in his career, fighting the spots he was in. And so that was a really cool moment, not only to see him put up that crazy good game, but also to see what that meant for him afterwards and to see the team come around him afterwards. That was a really cool moment. So that's and I'm not going to number these Because these all have a special place in my heart for very different reasons. But I'm just going to throw them out there as things that stuck out to me as highlights. I would love to, by the way, quick pause. I would love, by the way, to hear your guys' highlights from this season. And anyways, so on to the next one. This one's going to be controversial. But Jimmy Butler winning the – early on in the season, Jimmy Butler winning that game against the Lakers when he put up 32 points against the Lakers. One of really his last moments as a Timberwolf. I know this is controversial because of all the stuff going on around the time of this game and all the stuff going on with Jimmy Butler and between Jimmy Butler and the team, Jimmy Butler and the coach, Jimmy Butler and the other players specifically, not just the front office side of that, but – this was still a really cool moment, and I still really like Jimmy. For better or worse, I still really like Jimmy Butler, and I really like him watching him play, and he's really fun to cover. And I know that this might be controversial, but I kind of like his attitude. I kind of like a player that has some grit and a lot of edge. I've always liked those type of players, and so I really liked Jimmy Butler. Really enjoyed covering him and watching that last moment. In that high-scoring game, put up 32 points and basically win this game. Towns had a good game too, but it was him and Towns basically who won this game for them. I don't know. That was really cool. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed every piece of that game. And I'm going to remember maybe a little too fondly the Jimmy Butler moments in a Timberwolves jersey, for better or worse. And that was one of the ones that stuck out to me this season. Another one that stuck out to me, there's a couple of Kogi moments where specifically, he had some really good moments this season, I thought. And I really enjoyed Kogi and what he's done this season and his progression throughout the season. But there was a couple moments, the dunk against the Pelicans that he had and the block against Harden, I think really capsulize the highlights of what he's going to be, the best parts of his game for Timberwolves. And yes, he had the last minute shot, the 3-point shot, that was also a highlight. There's a couple other moments I could think of where they might be these pinnacle moments. But for me, the Pelicans dunk coming off the backside, coming off the weak side to get the dunk, the putback dunk, and then the block on Harden, I just feel like are two moments that really signify, like, I think he's going to do a lot of things well, but this is what he's really great at. He's really good at being a freak athlete, finding little weaknesses in the defense and getting to the rack, getting to the rim, and being just uber athletic around the rim. And you see that in transition, you see that in the half court, but that's what he's really good at offensively. That's his sweet spot. And you saw the 3-point shot develop, but as far as what he really does well, his real zen where he wants to get on the floor, that's what he's really good at. And then on defense, just being super pesky and an uber pursuer of where the ball is going to be on the floor. He is going to get steals, he's going to get blocks, and he might make some mistakes, but I think most of those mistakes are because he's getting so excited. He's really trying to make the play and maybe over pursues, maybe gets a little too zealous, but I'd rather have that than somebody being passive. And so that block on that stud player and the dunk against a really long, lengthy team, I think that those really highlight, even though he's a guard, I think those really highlight what the best parts of his game and the best parts of his contribution to the Timberwolves. And I'm excited for more of that. I'm excited to see a lot more of that going forward. I'm excited about Okogie. And I think if you go back and watch highlights of his game and then look at the stats of how he progressed month to month to month throughout the season, I think you're going to be very excited about him too. We're going to get to a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to keep talking about Timberwolves highlights. Colt Molesky, Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network here, talking about Timberwolves highlights throughout the season. Just remember, if you have a smart speaker, yell at that thing, play Locked On Wolves, will pop up because we are basically, the Locked On Network is basically everywhere you can download podcasts. So your smart speaker is going to find us. Also, if you're listening to this, you can make sure you're listening in a car as well, because you know what? You don't want to be on a phone. You don't want to be talking to somebody. You don't want to be texting, being distracted. Just throw us on in your car, focus on the road, drive to work. The podcasts are about 20, 25 minutes usually, and so that's usually about the length of an average U.S. commute to work. So when you're in the garage, toss on the Locked On Wolves podcast, and then we'll keep your ears stimulated as you drive to work, and your eyes, more importantly, on the road. And by the time you get to work, we're all wrapped up with the podcast. So it's a perfect little antidote for that morning commute with that cup of coffee driving into work. Going on with the highlights, talked about Okogie, talked about Derrick Rose. Another one was I mentioned this a lot the other day, Wiggins against the Thunder, but especially the 40-point game was so beautiful for a couple of reasons. First of all, really having a great Wiggins game is always awesome because, for better or worse, when he's on, he's really fun to watch, and he's really an enjoyable basketball player to watch. You can say whatever you want about him, and there's definitely a lot of flaws with Wiggins as a player, but when he is on, it is something else to watch, and you get excited because that's the ceiling that you hope for. And so he is really fun to watch. Seeing him put up the 40 points, the best game of the season for him, that game. But also having him do that and get Saunders' first win was also awesome. Seeing those guys get excited about their head coach the way they did in the locker room afterwards and wait for him with the tunnel of water to spray him with afterwards in the locker room. I don't know, you didn't feel that level of excitement. You didn't have that joy in the locker room. Nobody liked having Tibbs there. So to see them get pumped for a coach, I think it was really good and signaled a little something different in the locker room, and just as far as a mental side of this team, a little something different, a little more unity maybe in the locker room for them, which was really good. That was very encouraging. And then, too, it was fun to have this narrative of Wiggins owns OKC. Wiggins is the mayor of OKC. That was a lot of fun, seeing the Timberwolves kind of embrace that, seeing the front office and their social media embrace that, having the Thunder try and feebly push back against that narrative was fun. That whole narrative coming out of that game, that continued really for the rest of the season too, was really fun. And for a team that was bad this season, there's not a lot of those fun narratives that you can take advantage of. So to have that, especially spiraling off of that game and that game for Saunders in particularly, was a lot of fun. It was really cool. And there was a lot of cool moments coming out of that game too. Like Saunders starting off the first play with a play that his dad always ran was really, really cool. And heralds back to the old man, RIP, and yeah, there's a lot of really fun, cool moments in that game and following that game. And so it's a highlight for Wiggins, definitely, but it was just a highlight for the Timberwolves in general. The entire team, the entire organization from top to bottom, it felt like needed that game to go really well. And it did. And I think they fed off of that for like a month after that. And so that was definitely a highlight. Another one that I had as far as for the Timberwolves, another one that I had was the trade going well. And there was so many problems. And you guys know what trade I'm talking about. There's so many problems with figuring out trade suitors, and there are so many ways that the Timberwolves organization botched this and flummoxed and sidestepped themselves and worked their way out of deals that there was, when you heard that Philadelphia was in the works again, despite the Timberwolves, the first time they came looking for Jimmy Butler, the Timberwolves asked for Ben Simmons, and how laughable that was. Although now, if you could do it over again, right now they asked for the trade, maybe they do trade Ben Simmons. But that's a topic for another day. But to have the Timberwolves be so naive about trades, and then to pull off a trade, and there's a lot of people who still think that they didn't get enough for this trade, and that's probably true, but to have them pull it off and have it go so well, I mean, they had the nice run after they traded Jimmy Butler, even though Tibbs was still there, and Robert Covington, I mean, he's a good player, so I think it's a little easier to fit a player like him into a bunch of different spots, but it was nice to have both Robert Covington and Dario Saric slide so well into the team, and not only what they do on court, but it seems like the guys really like him off the court. Well, both of those guys really like them off the court and really like how they fit into the locker room, and I think they're a great locker room presence. I think they're really good for the organization. I think that they do a lot of things that helps ease tension that was there in the locker room, and it helps nurse some stuff that was happening off the court. They both are kind of want to shoot the three ball. Robert Covington especially is going to help a lot. You saw him help on the defense, especially perimeter defense a lot, and unfortunately he got injured for a big chunk of this season, but you saw in the small sample size that the Timberwolves had him what he did for this team on the court and the entire season. I think you can still speak to what he was doing off the court as far as a presence on the sideline, a presence in the locker room for just a great guy that the teammates really enjoy being around and really enjoy having him around. And so to have that go so well after so many pieces of the Jimmy Butler saga went so poorly was a big win for the Timberwolves, and was nice to kind of clean your hands of it, wash your hands of that situation, get out and get into a new spot in a better way. And really, if you're looking at it, it feels like a lifetime ago, but if you really look and remember back to how many teams they cycled through over the summer and how long they waited and how long they dragged their feet on the whole process in general, and then how poorly they handled it. Let's not forget, Houston wanted to give the Timberwolves 4 first-round picks for Jimmy Butler and other stuff, but also 4 first-round picks, and somehow no deal could be found before the season started off, and there's this whole weird thing where he wasn't coming to the spring stuff or the summer stuff. He wasn't coming to the first few practices, to the media day, and then when Jimmy Butler did come, he was flexing all over the place and stomping dudes all over the yard. And so that whole situation just seemed like it was going to set up for a really terrible trade where the Timberwolves somehow ended up with weird Bucks picks and Thon Maker and like DiVincenzo or something, and you get this package. It's like, what the hell is even happening right now? How do we get bamboozled into this? That seemed like where it was headed, where it was going to be. It was going to be some really strange odds and ends kind of trade, or they were going to fire Tibbs, and then whatever interim head coach was there, Jimmy Butler was just going to chew up, which also could have been pretty rough. But it didn't. They actually got some pretty solid players that they could potentially have for a little while and could really make a difference when they get healthy. And so with how much bumbling went on in the trade talks for the Timberwolves, I actually think this is probably the best that could have gone, just as far as how bad the Timberwolves organization, how bad Glenn Taylor is at this, and how bad Tibbs is at working trades and communicating with other teams. And so with how bad they are at that, to get what they ended up with actually was pretty good, because it probably should have gone a lot worse. And so I think that has to be a highlight as well, that they didn't get absolutely destroyed in some sort of weird trade during December, and that they actually got some pieces that they can use and that they can build stuff around and can put around towns to keep building. And I think that's a highlight. So that's what I got for you guys. Those were some of the highlights. Those were some of the big highlights. We're going to get to a blooper reel, and then we're going to talk about talent's highlights over the next couple of shows. But as of right now, that's what I got for you. So think about these highlights. Go look up on YouTube some of these highlights and enjoy them. Remember them fondly. And hopefully this puts a little better taste in your mouth when you're thinking about Timberwolves basketball on that way to work. Thanks so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.